We are recording in public session.
Okay, the time is 9:03 a.m. on October 7th, 2020, and I am convening this video conference meeting of the Personnel Committee of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association. This meeting is pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act, Governor Abbott's suspension of certain Open Meeting Act requirements due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and the association's antitrust policy. All information disclosed or discussed is to be used only for carrying out the business of the association. Proper notice of the meeting was filed on September 28th, 2020, and published in the Texas Register in accordance with the Texas Open Meetings Act. A copy of the notice should be attached to the summary of the official minutes of this meeting. A quorum is achieved as all three members of the committee are in attendance. Also in attendance are Board Counsel Shelby Bates, General Counsel Jackie Risen, Executive Director Bart Bowles, Association Employees Jarrett Terry and Topping Haggerty, and Nikki Millhopped with Clifton Larson Allen. And we also have a representative from Texas Department of Insurance, Tina, what's Arendal. Your last name?
Arendal.
Okay, so the meeting is now in session. First item on the agenda this morning, we have consideration and possible action on consent agenda items. Summary of the official minutes of the July 20th, 2020 meeting. Committee members, have you had an opportunity to review those minutes for accuracy? James and David, can you hear me?
Sorry, I was having mute problems. Yes, and I move acceptance.
James, you're still muted.
Second.
Okay, motion carries. That next item on the agenda. We have consideration and possible action on temporary adjustments to personnel policies in regard to the COVID-19 pandemic. First, and Bart, if you want to discuss that, it's the executive order on the employee payroll tax deferral.
Yes, thank you, Robin. This is just a reporting item, but I think it is important because all employers are really having to address this right now. But President Trump's August 8th, 2020 executive order did permit the deferral of withholding deposit and payment of an employee's Social Security tax on wages. So this is to allow employees with some financial strain some relief. It's a temporary relief just for the taxes that they would be having withheld from their compensation for September 1st, 2020 through year-end 2020, but then the employee would have to start repaying those taxes, the deferred taxes, in the period January 1 through April 30th, 2021, and that would probably be done through adjustments and taking from the wages and compensation during that period. It's a reporting item because I've reviewed the necessity for this with the association's employees, and no employee is interested in deferring those taxes. So we are continuing to normal process to withdraw and pay the taxes. And okay. just a reporting item.
All right, thank you for that, Bart. Next item on the agenda is the temporary adjustment to the vacation leave year-end carryover.
I have not discussed this with anyone on the committee or the board, but I wanted to alert you and ask you for some dispensation. The employee handbook does limit the amount of vacation leave at year end an employee can carry over, and it is limited to 40 hours. And due to the COVID-19 pandemic, most employees have not taken much time vacation. We have one employee who's able to get a vacation before the COVID matter really kind of flared up. So I was tracking with Topping the accumulation of leave time, and it looks like every employee is going to lose somewhere between 70 and 120 hours at year end of vacation leave. So that means all employees will have somewhere between 110 and 160 hours of vacation time at year end. So they would dump quite a bit. due to the unique nature of this pandemic in 2020, I am requesting that the committee allow a one-time for year-end 2020 only an increase in that carryover to 80 hours. So it's not unlimited. It's not to allow an employee to eliminate losing any time, but to give a one-time exception to allow one more week of carryover with the hopes that sometime during 2021, with vaccination distribution massively, that employees will be able to use that time.
And Bart, I assume you don't have any
concerns. That we...
Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead, David.
I was just saying, you don't have any concerns. Sorry. Don't you hate Zoom? You don't have any operational concerns about maintaining operations with, you know, more people having more vacation.
No, we would still just have to schedule, and we do a pretty good job of scheduling and monitoring and making sure we have coverage and who's going to be in the office. And if there's an overlap, then we'll have someone adjust their time. But we do try to plan significantly in advance. There is another restriction in the employee handbook. I should tell you that there is a limitation that no employee can take more than 3 weeks of vacation in a year. So that would also come into play. I'm not asking for any change in that yet because I don't see the need, but I will look at that some more and I may come back to you in January. But for right now, I'm just talking about the year-end carryover of the vacation leave accrual.
Boy, quick question. So that 40-hour carryover at the end of 2021, the carryover would still be 40 hours at that time. So that means they would have to use, what do they average, 3 weeks of vacation a year?
No, most employees are only around 2 weeks.
Okay, two weeks. So that means...
But they could take up to three, James. And okay. I'm thinking with this carryover, that's what we would see if most employees would probably have 3 weeks of vacation leave during 2021.
With the organization, is that, you know, and I know David talked about our operational concerns. Have you given any thought to maybe an option to carry over the 40 hours for next year or to possibly compensate the employee for up to 40 hours of unused vacation? You know, they can carry 40 over at the end of 2020. What would that look like compensating them if that option was available? Do you think any would have an interest in it?
I think there would be interest, but I've not explored that. And that may be something if I can plan ahead just a little bit. Let's say we do increase the carryover for year end 2020 to 80 hours during the year, because all employees are at a point right now that they accumulate 10 hours a month. So they would accumulate another 80 hours. So if you're looking that, you know, 80 and 80, that's 160, and they take 3 weeks during the year, they'd be right at the 40-hour carryover. So there shouldn't be the need to compensate them if we limit it to this. But if you would like to consider some type of compensation for these hours that could be eliminated, that's always up to you. But we've not, just so you know, we've not discouraged anyone from taking any vacation.
Right.
We've just said, if you take a vacation, be safe. Okay. Please be careful. And just most employees, out of abundance of caution, have chosen not to vacation.
You know, when I read this, you said, several of the employees are facing losing a range from 70 to 120 hours this year if we take no action. Is that, am I understanding that correct?
Right. And, you know, of course, I'm at the top. I would lose a full 3 weeks, but that's really not relevant. I'm talking more about the other staff.
Right.
I am encouraging the staff to try to take a few days between now and year end. But I can't force them. So it is not unusual for us to have staff lose a few hours at year end each year, but this is really extraordinary to have this much time not being taken.
Okay, so is this an item that we could, as a committee, make a motion to approve this and, without going to the full board?
I still have it set up as a recommendation for the board to consider. Okay. I've just pulled up there a draft resolution for you to consider. It's not okay. A change to the employee handbook. It's just a one-time.
All right. So resolved that the board of directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association Personnel Committee accept the recommendation accept the recommendation from the Personnel Committee to permit an employee to carry over up to 80 hours of vacation leave at year end 2020. Do I have a motion?
So move.
I will second that, but I do have a question on it. The question is it clear from this resolution that this is just 1 year? So at the end of calendar year 2021, it reverts back to 40 hours of carryover.
I'll ask our counsel, Jacqueline.
Well, I know that's what your intention is, but I think we could probably make that a little clearer, yes. So, let me see this. Well, let's see where to put that.
Jackie, you could just make another further
sentence
that at the end of 2021, the carryover limit of whatever it is will
revert back.
Yeah, something to that effect.
Okay, so I think what that would be then is further resolved at the end of 2021, the carryover of vacation leave policy will revert back to the policy set forth in the employee handbook.
Perfect.
Okay. So, Mr. Summer, would you accept?
Yes.
That adjustment to your motion?
Yes.
And James, as a second?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Okay, so next on the agenda, we're consideration of a temporary adjustment to the consecutive leave requirement. Bart?
This one's a little unique because it's a personnel issue, but it also involves the audit committee because it is an internal control feature that was implemented years ago, many years ago, at the request and urging of a then outside auditor for the association. The intent thinking that over five consecutive days, if business days, if employees out of the office, any unusual transactions would surface. And at that time, it was kind of a recommended practice that this would be used in all organizations. It's kind of a fraud preventative measure. Jarrett reviewed that requirement with our current outside auditor, and she feels that it's a little bit antiquated and that we have other internal control features. And you mentioned some here in the write-up, our segregation of duties and our access to systems that are better preventative measures, and that this 5-day requirement is more detective control and not a preventative control. So she really doesn't feel that it's necessary any longer. But and although I think I did this in the staff meeting we had last week, not every staff has taken 5 consecutive days off this year. So I'm urging them to take those days. But this is probably something that's not just COVID related. COVID has brought it to the fore, but it's something going forward, do we even need it any longer? So I'm raising in here with the personnel committee to get your thoughts and anything you want to pass along to the audit committee. We're going to ask the audit committee to consider this since it is an internal control component. We're going to ask them to consider it on October 19th. And then it could very possibly be a joint recommendation from the two committees to the board for an adjustment. So I'll take questions if I didn't explain that very well.
No questions.
Is there a resolution for us to consider?
I had a resolution, but I took it off because I think the resolution is going to come from the audit committee.
Okay.
So this is just your opportunity. If you have sentiments or thoughts that you'd like for us to pass along to the audit committee, do you have concerns? Do you have no concerns? Whatever you think.
No concerns for me.
No concerns.
And Robin?
Sorry, I was muted. No concerns.
Okay. Well, thank you for considering that, and we'll report back after during the board meeting on the 21st after the audit committee has had a chance to discuss. And that's only all I had under that item.
Okay. So we're now going to talk about our compensation study, and Nikki Milhaupt of Clifton Larson Allen. She was our compensation consultant that we hired. We engaged to conduct the compensation study after we had done the RFP process. And we're going to have her presentation of her reports and findings once we go into executive session. Does anybody have any conversation or comments before we go into executive session?
No.
No. Okay.
And if I may, I'm going to ask Tina Arndahl from the Department of Insurance.
Yeah.
Tina, would you like me to just park you in a waiting room because this is going to be confidential, or would you like to disconnect and I can text you when we're going to resume the open meeting?
Whichever is easier for you.
Okay. Why don't I take down your number real quick and I will text you. Is that the number you use?
Yes.
Ending in 9659, is that fine?
That's correct.
Okay. So I will text you when we're ending executive session and about to restart the regular.
Okay. Thank you, Bart.
Thank you, Tina.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay.
Okay.
Robin, if you give us, after you read the language, go to executive session, I'll need a moment to lock the meeting and Topping will need a moment to adjust recording.
Okay. All right, so the time is now 9:22 a.m. on October 7th, 2020. Oh, wait. The time is 9:22 a.m. on October 7th, and I am recessing the regular session of the Personnel Committee meeting of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association in order for the committee to meet in executive session pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act.
We are recording in public session.
Okay, the time is 10:45 a.m. on October 7th, 2020. The executive session of the Personnel Committee meeting of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association has concluded, and I am reconvening the regular session pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act. So we do have action on one item that was discussed in executive session. So we would like to, let me get my note. We would like to propose that the Guarantee Association Board of Directors accept the recommendation of the salary, the proposed salary ranges in the Clifton, Marsh, and Allen study. Do we have a motion?
So move.
James, are you there?
James is muted.
James, you're on.
He's working on it.
Second, I'm sorry.
Thank you, so moved. All right, so let's move on then to the next item on the agenda, which is consideration and possible action on the association's remote working policy. I'll turn it over to Bart.
Okay, at the committee's request, and this policy, draft policy was developed, but I would note in our business continuity plan, we already had remote working procedures and we followed those with a little bit of expansion in COVID-19 when we closed the offices last March 13th. So we had a process and we had procedures, but a policy that could be incorporated into the employee handbook, we did not have it. So as requested by the committee, I worked up this initial draft of a remote working policy, and I have it on screen. It was in your materials. I also had Jackie review this as well. So I've taken remote working, or some of them call life balance, life work balance policies, telecommuting policies. I took some from some companies that I've worked with recently as part of our insolvencies, where we've had to review their policies. Then I took six or eight different policies from the internet and melded them together into what I thought would fit our organization. So I'll just mention the high points first to define exactly what this means. What is remote working? That compensation and work hours remain unchanged. An employee has to be available. And this was important because recently we've gotten two new insolvencies that we're administering in-house. So it does require different staff to come to the office at different times, at least one day a week, to deal with premium payments, claim submissions, and other mail. But we have different staff touching different areas there for internal controls. So the availability and responsiveness was very important. A lot of it, of course, is left to my discretion. You know, I look at it, is that availability sufficient to meet our obligations and carry out the tasks? Equipment and tools. The association does provide the employees with electronic equipment, their computers, their laptops. The connectivity is provided by the employee, but everything else, we've even had some additional furniture accessibility we've made available and set up the employees. Everyone is working fine, but this just defines exactly what we'll provide, but it is the association's equipment, and upon termination or whenever we request, you have to give it back. Then we talk about the location and workspace. There is an issue here I would ask you to consider. There is, in the third paragraph of this section, and it was pretty standard language I found in all these policies, that the employee must be subject to periodic monitoring of the workplace, the working location, the workspace, equipment, and the usage. And we have the right to make on-site visits with or without notice. Now, it is standard language in a lot of on the policies that I've read, but that is a little invasive. And I want to make sure you focus on that. Do we want that in the policy? Do we want to have that opportunity, but only in certain situations where we have concerns? Do we utilize it? I was uncomfortable putting that in there, but it's better to have it in and let you consider it than to just explain it and have not in the policy. Then liability and workers' compensation, I think it's just clear that you have to make it very, very pointed that they're still covered by workers' compensation, but you need to limit it. We're not going to cover everything that might happen in their house. Care for others. This is not a way that they can take care of children and do work. You're still expected to do your work. And if it's necessary to have child care or care for others in order to carry out your work, you still need to make those arrangements. Taxes goes without saying, you're still responsible. That anything we need to do to evaluate the effectiveness and the appropriateness of the remote working, that the employee will participate in our analysis of that situation. And then we have the right at any time to terminate the remote working arrangement, but it does not change the employee's employment status. So I've glossed over that pretty quickly. I hope you all had an opportunity to review it. This was the first draft. And I'll take questions of what was my intent in doing this, but on the specific language, I'll also be very willing to accept any edits and suggestions.
Boy, it's James. On the equipment and tools, should we have at least a comment there about how damaged or lost equipment will be handled? That's a big, big problem with a lot of public employees when something is stolen from a home. It happens to us on occasion, and we do have a provision in our policy when we allow the employee to take home an electronic device, that they are responsible for it. So I know if they terminate, it has to be returned to us. I'm not sure what the range of equipment that might be in someone's home, but I imagine it could be several $1,000. So if that resident was burglarized, what would be the responsibility of the employee to the association regarding the replacement of that? Because our property insurance, if it's stolen from our location, it would be under our property. I know there are some inland marine type policies that when, like band equipment for me when it's in transit. So is there any obligation if damaged or lost equipment in the employee's possession? Is there any responsibility for them to replace that or participate in a replacement of it?
Excuse me, I'm making a quick note here. James, I think you're right that should be added. I think the employee there should be something in here to say the employee has a responsibility to protect the equipment and maintain it and protect it from damage. As far as the responsibility, I look at it as the same as any piece of any equipment that if they were sitting at their desk, what's their responsibility if that is damaged? But it would have to be explained a little further. If it's damaged, remote working environment.
I should have really said if it's stolen.
Okay.
That's really not the damage point. I'm sorry. If it's stolen from a person's residence, what would their responsibility be, if any?
I think there's two things there. We'd have to work up some language on that. But also, as Jarrett, if you can make a note, let's talk to our broker with our liability coverages to see on our equipment coverage that we have for the office, if it would also cover association's equipment in an employee's remote working location. So James, let us check on that, but okay. I think you need some language as well. Okay, other comments?
Bart and the committee, I had some comments on the liability section, and you have a sentence, you know, the CLEGA is not liable for loss, destruction, or injury that may occur in or to the employee's remote work location. I think that's a great sentiment objective, but I'm not sure that would be upheld in all circumstances. For example, there's a relatively recent Texas Supreme Court decision that says if you've got an employee and he or she is performing in the course and scope of their employment, and that employee is negligent and causes injury, the company or the employer is going to be vicariously liable. And this is a situation that TPCGA thought about very recently because it just adopted a telecommuting policy. And how we handled it there is to include provisions in this section that say, if it's the board's will, that the association does not authorize in any circumstances an employee working remotely to invite visitors to his or her remote working location or to conduct in-person meetings with third parties at his or her remote working location. And to the extent this activity is engaged in, the association expressly disclaims this as being part of their duties and considers it outside the course and scope of their employment. Mm-hmm. And that's done to try to make clear that it's not in the course and scope of the employee's employment, which would hopefully eliminate vicarious liability. You could add to the extent meetings with third parties are needed, they must be conducted virtually or if it's possible and safe at the physical location on Congress Street. And for similar reasons, we had another similar provision that generally prohibited employees from receiving deliveries of office supplies at the remote working location. Now, you could add a proviso that unless specifically approved by the executive director. And both of those provisions were designed to hopefully eliminate the slip and fall liability or the dog bite liability or some third party got injured at the remote location. Another provision we included is in recognition that we live in the state of Texas and people buy guns in Texas legally and often have guns at their home to protect themselves in the case of home invasion or, you know, to defend themselves within their homestead. To make clear that in no circumstances does the association authorize the use of firearms or weapons, and that to do so is, you know, strictly outside of the course and scope of employment.
Interesting.
It's designed to make explicit that are not authorized and that would not be considered an employee's duty and therefore outside the course and scope of employment. And that's, you know, your last sentence, obviously the concern you're worried about, which is appropriate and wise, is injuries to third parties. So we try to think of what are the most likely scenarios where a third party could get injured, and we came up with the provisions that I've just described. So that's a possibility.
Well, you've mentioned three things there, and if the committee feels they're appropriate, we'll pursue some language and I'll work with you on that, Shelby. One of them, though, I have a concern with, the prohibition of the employees receiving office supplies at the remote location. We are having supplies for the employees shipped directly to their location to avoid them having unnecessary exposure to COVID or having to come into the office to get office supplies. In the same way, things like premium checks and things like that are received, for example, from a receiver that need to be forwarded to us. instead of being sent to our office like a FedEx envelope today, there's no one at the office. It would be sitting in the hallway. So we have it sent to an employee's home. It safeguards theft of documents, theft of materials, but it also minimizes the exposure of an employee to have to go into the office, be in our office building, exposure to COVID. So is there a way that that section could be finessed to allow the employees to receive items and supplies on behalf of the association in their home to perform their duties, but still limit the exposure of the association?
Well, the provision I described may not work for, you know, the Life Association. TPC, I assume someone has to go into your office to look at the mail.
Right.
Is that true or not true?
That's me.
That's topping.
And again, what TPC did is there was a proviso or an exception that in general, to the extent you can get the office supplies you need, you can get them at the office. And there's enough employees at TPCGA that there is at least one person on site during regular business hours every weekday. So that it was kind of, generally speaking, it's the drive-by, you know, it's the curbside pickup. If and people can order them and they're picked up on a staggered basis. The Life and Health Association is a little different. There's five employees, and so this just may not be feasible, and it's not obligatory to put that in if it's just too much of a hardship and the concern is there's not, you know, everyday scrubbing of the office and hand sanitizer everywhere, and people are told you can't come to the office on these days because we're staggering the entry into the office. So maybe that just doesn't work. We can think about it. The design is try to minimize third parties coming to the remote location just to do away with, eliminate any potential third party liability.
Okay, I understand it.
It's but not
if the committee would like, we can explore language on those three things, and we may have to make some adjustment for potential fit with our organization. Is that appropriate, committee, that I do some work on that?
Yes.
Yes.
I agree.
Other comments? As with most of the policies that we draft, or I draft for you to review, it may need to go through a couple of iterations. This is the initial draft to kind of say, this is what I think it would look like, but now we'll start to tweak it. So this will be on the agenda for January, and you'll have a second draft. Anything further?
Okay. Any other things? Okay.
Just to look at the calendar for your next meeting.
Okay. Next meeting will be Monday, January 27th, 2021, 1:30 p.m.
Now, Robin, I will say that's the tentative date. If we are still operating remotely and in a COVID environment, which we very well could be, that is the date and the time if we were to have an in-person meeting. If you were to choose to have it at a different time on that date, or even on another date a couple weeks earlier, because a board meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, January 28th, we can always make that change. But this is just the target, not knowing exactly what the operating environment will be when we get to January.
Understood.
Is January 27th, a Monday?
I have to look. No, it's a Wednesday. Sorry. That should be. That was a slip. It's the 25th is a Monday. Thank you, David.
It's not Martin Luther King Day, is it? What day is Martin Luther King next year?
I believe it is the 18th. Am I right?
Okay, good.
It's not on my calendar. Sorry. I believe it's the 18th.
It is the 18th. You're right.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
So you can change that date.
Any other 25th,
and thank you, David.
Anything else we need to discuss before we adjourn our personnel committee meeting? Anybody have anything? Nope. All right, then. Are we ready to adjourn? Art, anything?
Nothing for me, Robin.
Okay. All right. So the time is 11:06 a.m. on October 7th, 2020, and this meeting of the Personnel Committee of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association that has been held pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act is adjourned.